Well, good evening, friends and brethren. It's good to see you again. The week sure has been going by quickly. And it's hard to think and believe this is the last night of our meeting together, but I hope you'll find the lesson tonight to be one that's helpful. This lesson tonight is one that is intended to be very simple. There's no difficult concepts here. There's no difficult passages that we are trying to take apart and understand. But one that I think and I hope will teach some very simple principles. That's the goal tonight. So for several years, I've been going to Africa, doing some preaching work there. And I have a couple of travel partners, Steve Klein and Tad Corder. We've traveled together now 10 years or more, and I've been going longer than that. And so we've had some interesting experiences along the way. Besides just the opportunity of preaching and being with brethren and going out in the bush sometimes and preaching there or doing preacher training, we've done a variety of things there. A lot of times, especially in years past, our trip has usually been a 3-week or a little bit more trip. And I've always tried to plan somewhere in the middle a day that's just a rest day, a day where we take a break, a day where we can maybe get some good sleep at night, and have some good food to eat. Well, a couple of times in the process of doing that, we've gone to a game park to stay and to spend the night and to see some animals, and in particular to walk with the lions. I know that sounds a little peculiar, but it's just as it says, walking with the lions early in the morning, going out with some guides into an area, walking through the bush, and there are some lions that are captive, being raised to be turned back out into the wild. A little bit more on that in just a moment, but it was one time when we were there to walk with the lions the next morning that in the evening one of the guides said to us, "Would you like to see the feeding of the old mature lions?" Well, we said, "Yeah, we'd like to see that." Of course, it comes with a fee. Everything comes with a fee, but we thought it would be worth seeing that. And so they put us in a Jeep, and they drove us around for several minutes around to an area where there was a big fence. And they stopped right there, and they said, "If you stand right here in front of this fence in a few minutes, you'll see the lions. And there are 4 older male lions that are going to come and feed." And we stood there with a few other folks thinking, okay, where are the lions? And we waited, and after a few minutes, a Jeep came out and left some prey for the lions to find. And so here we are. There's a very tall fence in front of us. It's about 12 feet tall. And this fence, we could see it goes down, and then it went back into the bush. I don't know how far, just as far as we could see. So it was a large area, and it kind of went off a hill there a little bit to where we couldn't see it anymore, but we just kept waiting. But the guide talked with us some. I learned some things about lions that I never knew before. You know, such things as lions do not eat 3 meals a day like we might think is normal, but in fact, they eat a big meal every 3 to 5 days. So when they eat big. And when they are hungry, they are real hungry. And they are ready to find their prey. So when a lion gets ready to eat, he gets real serious about that. Like there's no question in his mind that he is ready to eat and he is looking for what he can have. In fact, he's probably been following his prey for a day or 2 or 3, maybe. So maybe when he saw, he has first found what may be his prey, well, he's not hungry at all. But he knows that that hunger is going to come in time. And there's a little more to it than that, even. You know, if he is just kind of hanging around his prey, you know, at first they are real anxious when they see a lion. But he's just hanging around. And he's just kind of sitting over there at the edge of the bush. And after a little bit of time, the prey becomes less concerned about the lion being there. Well, that's just something to think about just a little bit. But the events of this particular evening were memorable. And after our events kind of took care of that evening, you know, I said to the other guys, I said, I think I know what each of us are going to preach when we get back home. Because there were just some things that became very evident and obvious right there, and some great examples. And I don't know what Steve and Tad called their lesson, but mine is Beware, Hungry Lion. And there's some remarkable similarities between a hungry lion and Satan. That's the connection. I mean, there is an absolute spiritual connection that happens right here. And Scripture makes it abundantly clear. But still it seems that we are not too much inclined to think about the present danger of Satan. But it was the events of this particular evening that reminded me that Satan is always there, he's always present, and the danger is always very real. And so, being up close to hungry lions enlightened my senses a little bit. And so, first there has to be the prey. And what that was a dead cow. They came out in a jeep and they dumped out in front of us a dead cow. And they said, stand right here. So we did. We're standing just the other side of this fence right here. And we just kind of keep looking back, like, where's the lions? And we just kept waiting and kind of anxious. And all of a sudden, someone says, here come the lions. And as quick as you looked up, it's like there they were, and then they were here, and then they were here, and there they were, just like that. And they came up, and they actually bounced into the fence, and the whole fence rattled, and we all jumped back. And somebody screamed a girl scream. I'm not kidding. I think it was Steve. But it all happened so fast that we all took us by surprise, and we've been standing there for a long time, ready. Cameras ready, because we were told, like, you don't want to miss this, and you have to really hurry, and you have to really be ready for this, because it'll happen so fast. And I wished later, it's like, why didn't I take a video? You know, but I didn't think about it. I was just going to get these pictures. But it was like, here they come, and there they are, and there they are, and boom, they're on top of the prey. It was like that fast. And as we thought about that later, that was the thing I think we were most impressed about, is how fast those lions were. Now, I don't know where they were before we saw them, but the impression that we have is that they were not really all that far away. And all of a sudden, they were really not far away. They were right there in front of us. And so they jumped on the prey, and they weren't real friendly about it, who was going to get what piece. There was some growling, and there was some gnawing, and there was some pushing, and they tore that thing into four pieces, and they went off in four different places. And where I was, or at least where I ended up after I jumped back, there was a lion that came right in front of me and sat down there with his quarter of a cow and sat down and started eating at it, and he looked at me. It was the most peculiar feeling. And he looked at me, and he gnawed on that cow, and he licked it, and he kept making noises, kind of like a muffled growl. And he just looked at me. And as he was eating, he just kept looking at me. One of those situations where the hair stands up on the back of your neck, that was it. It was the most peculiar thing. And he just looked at me, and he gave me that look like, I double dog dare you to try to take this. But I didn't even think about trying to take that away from him. There are some lessons learned. I want us to think about this very seriously tonight. Satan is like a roaring lion. And we read passages that tell us that. In fact, if we would turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Some of you already know where we're going with that. 1 Peter chapter 5. How many times have we read a passage like this right here? It took on a completely new meaning for me on that day. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the passage is so very descriptive of how Satan works. What the Apostle Peter is trying to tell us and to warn us is to not be fooled. Because God told us, He has warned us, the character and the nature of Satan. Peter seems to understand that. And he relates that to us in this very simple passage right here. It's just descriptive of how Satan works. And yet we seemingly at times are inclined to just miss what is being said, to ignore it. And often we do not think about what Satan can do to us. It is as though we have no fear. But let me tell you something. I promise you this, that if we are face to face with a lion, you will be scared. It'll make you move. It'll make you utter sounds that you didn't know you could make at such a high level. It will scare you. And yet when we talk about Satan being like a lion, somehow we don't make the connection the way we should and the kind of fear that we should have with Satan. And I think that's what Peter's trying to tell us. That's the warning he's trying to give us right here. And so we think about, you know, why do we think God would use this metaphor to make his point? I mean, it's because it's real. And if we will think for just a moment about the reality of a lion and who they are and how they act and how they respond, we should know that Satan is fast and his attack is often unexpected, and that he is stealthy, and that he will sneak up on us if he can at all when we are least aware, and he will be ready to attack. Part of his effectiveness is causing us to fail to realize that he is watching us. And yet he is close by. That's what Peter is saying. Satan is close by. You know, often a lion's prey is seldom aware that he's even there until the attack is on. Or if the prey knows he is there, it has been like I described before. He's been following along for 2 or 3 or 4 days. And at first, if there is a herd of impala or whatever there may be, and a lion comes into the area, they know it, and they get all scared, and they are all jittery and kind of move around. But the lion just lays down underneath a tree. He's full. He just ate yesterday. And so he's just kind of mellowed out right there. And the second day, the impalas, they still know that lion is walking right, seeming like he's following them along. But he's not really that close. He's not bothering us. The third day, maybe, those hunger pains are starting to well up in that lion. And he's already looking at, you know, not the whole herd. He's not going to kill the whole herd. He doesn't have to. He just has to get one. And so he's watching for that one. It's not as fast as the others. Maybe he's a little sickly. The one that's going to be the easiest one to catch. The lion already knows which one he's going after before he even lets out a roar. But this much is for sure. His ploy is effective, and it encourages complacency to the point of not even seeing danger. And it's like we said a moment ago, sometimes we don't even realize that Satan is right behind us and that he's doing everything he can to draw us in, to make us complacent. That's what he does. That's what a lion does. And that's what Satan does. When a lion lets out a roar, it's very distinct. You don't hear a lion roar and say, "Do you think that was a lion?" No, nobody says that. Everybody, you know it's a lion's roar. I mean, it is absolute. And to its prey, it's debilitating. Where sometimes even there are some, if there's a herd of animals and they take off running when they hear a roar of a lion, some in fear just stop and just stand right there. Very easy prey at that point. But it happens just like that sometime. Because the roar is so loud, it's so distinctive, it's so frightening. And at that point, everyone knows the danger. But it's too late to get away. The lion already has them. Just like Satan reaches out, it seems, and just catches us unaware at times. Oh, we should have known. We should have known better. The warnings. We should have known that Satan was right there and that he was just waiting for the time. But it's like we don't know. It's like we've become complacent. One time on a trip long ago, we got to the spot where we were staying late, and it was 2:00 in the morning when we got there, very late getting there. And we each had a little cottage to stay in. It was kind of like the size of a large tent, but it had walls. And I was so tired, I didn't care if it had a bed. I was ready to go to sleep. I was happy to see there was a bed, but it really didn't matter to me. I was about to fall over. And I did. I fell right over in that bed. And about the time I was just kind of starting to relax a little bit, it happened. A lion roared, and I sat up, and I didn't think, well, is that a lion? No, I knew exactly what it was. Again, it's that hair on the back of your neck stand up thing that happens. And I jumped up, and I went over to the door, this little sliding door, and I made sure that door was closed, and I locked it. I don't know why you would lock it, but I did. And then I realized that over top of my bed where I was sleeping, the curtains were blowing, and I thought, well, I'm going to close the windows. And I went over there and realized, well, actually, there were no windows. So I closed the curtains. Not that that did any good either. But I went to sleep thinking about that lion. He was so close. I say so close. He may have been a mile away. You can hear a lion for a very, very long way in the night. Satan's purpose is to destroy. What the apostle tells us here, seeking whom he may devour. It's not like he's just trying to scare us. It's not like he's trying to just hurt us. No, he's trying to destroy us. That's what Satan does. Just like I saw that cow tore to pieces in just seconds. That's what Satan is wanting to do. That is his purpose. That is his intent. I want you to look with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Do not think otherwise. Satan is trying to devour. Proverbs 30, we begin at verse 29. There are three things that are stately in their stride, four that move with stately bearing. A lion, mighty among beasts, who retreats before nothing. A strutting rooster, a he-goat, and a king with his army around us. Just a little insight, you know, about a lion, you know, mighty among beasts, the king of the jungle, you know, we say sometimes about a lion. Just to have in mind that when Satan is busy about his work, he's confident in what he does, and he is mighty in what he does. Satan attacks aggressively, and we need to have that in mind. But you know what else? Satan can look harmless. There are times that Satan might appear to us to be kind and gentle. I mean, lions are that way for sure. I have some very cool photos of a harmless lion. I say harmless kind of with parentheses because lions are never harmless. Maybe for that moment, they're not on the attack. And if you're with a group of people, when we were walking with the lions, we were safe when we were together. And that lion just looked incredibly harmless. But you can't forget that it's still a lion. And that in a different environment, at a different moment, that lion could act incredibly different. You see, sometimes Satan can be very much that way. Sometimes evil can look appealing to us. It can look good. That's what Satan does. Satan can put before us evil in such a way that it draws us in, makes us comfortable. He makes it look good for us in some way. But what we have to understand is that Satan is our adversary. And everything that Satan represents is a trap. Satan is our enemy, and he is looking to tear us up. That's who he is. That's what he does. And he will do that when we are most vulnerable. We're going to the Psalms. Look with me at the 17th Psalm. The 17th Psalm. David says some things here that are rather interesting. You know, David is talking about enemies, and well qualified to do so. David knew something about enemies. He did. David knew the feeling of an enemy that is close by and coming in on him. And it is in that context here that we read the 17th Psalm, beginning of verse 10. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down and now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching in cover. Isn't it interesting that David uses this verbiage to define or to describe his enemies, that they are like a lion? And the way he describes them, we could see and we could picture. If we didn't think about the context here, we would just think he could be talking about a lion all the way through this. But that's the way his enemies were acting. That's the way Satan acts. Satan has the ability to be just like that. He works with his servants to surround us, to overwhelm us with his ways. There's nothing kind about the way Satan works. His objective is to overwhelm our thinking. His desire is to destroy any spiritual inclination in our heart. Because if he can manage that, if he can do that, then we are easy prey. Then we've come to a point that we don't even see his presence. And we don't no longer even see him coming toward us. He does so by surrounding us in his ways. He surrounds us with his servants, and he makes the ways of evil look good. It's what he does. And it's what he does so well. The reality, again, though, was there in verse 12. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching in cover. Interesting verbiage. You know, the lion doesn't come out and just parade himself in front of all, but he kind of stays over at the side. You kind of forget that he's there. Maybe even crouches behind where for a while you don't even see him. But Satan is always there. He is always close by. Well, what is our hope? If you continue reading in the same text, verse 13, look, our hope is in the power of Jehovah God. David writes this in verse 13, "Rise up, O Lord, and confront them. Bring them down. Rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand, save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life." And so we think for a moment about David's plea. David's plea to the Lord was, "Save me." That's what he was saying. And only God has complete power over the evil one. We can't call on the messengers of Satan to help us. I mean, they're on the other side. And if we think about it, there are more messengers or ministers of Satan than anyone else. But God's power is greater than all of them. God's power will overcome. Satan is a roaring lion. But God has power to overtake him. Satan can look harmless, but he's not. And then Satan intends to kill and destroy. And let's get a clear picture of this. Satan intends to kill and destroy. He's not looking to just maim or injure. He's after the kill. That's what lions do. They're not just trying to scare the prey. They're not just trying to take a little bite out of the leg and then go their own way. Not trying to maim, you know, their prey. No. The lion is trying to take down the prey and to kill and destroy. That's what the lion does. So does Satan. That's what Satan is trying to do. And so, you know, sometimes we might think, but, you know, the lion doesn't look that vicious. You know, he's not really trying to kill. But if we think that in any way, we're being foolish, because nature tells us exactly opposite of that. The proof is pretty powerful. And it's the same way with Satan. I'm not sure why it is that we don't have a more healthy fear of Satan. That we don't see and understand Satan for all that he is. Now, there are times that it's amazing how the king of the jungle can look so kind and innocent. Kind of like a big kitty cat. But he's not. Oh, he is a big cat. I grant. I understand. I see that. But no, he's not a big kitty cat. You know, it reach out and, you know, scratch his whiskers. I don't believe I would. I don't think I'd try. Because he's a lion. For days you may be near that lion and he offers no evidence of desire to kill. But the day will come when we would be the prey of that lion. Satan is just that way. Remember, that's what the Lord said. It's what God tells us. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why do we play down that passage? Why do we not let that just sink in? Because that's what Satan will do. Don't be fooled. Satan, his intention is to separate us from safety so that he can attack. That is his purpose. And there's safety to be found with those of like mind. You know, when you go walking with the lions, like I talked about earlier, this is really an odd thing. There was about 12 or 15 of us, and there were a couple of guides, and we went out in the bush to run around with two 18-month-old lions. They were about that tall, and they were very playful and rambunctious, and they would just kind of run around. But the instructions that we got before we went to walk with the lions were pretty simple. You have to stay real close together, because there are 12 of us or however many that's all together. And as long as we are tight and we are together, the lions might even act like we are a part of their pride, like we're one of them. And they said, don't be surprised if at times after we walk together a while, that the lions, they'll run over here and they'll run back here. And they may come walking right through us, you know, and you can just run your hand down their back as they come through. That's really weird. But it happened just that way. And just let them come through and everybody will be fine as long as you stay together and we're in a tight group. Everything will be just fine. But just in case, they gave us a stick. So we all had a big staff, a big stick. And the one guy drew in the sand before we left, kind of drew a big circle like that and then put a little one on the top and two little ears. And it's like, oh, that's the lion. And drew four legs on it. And he had the stick. And he says, this is your stick. And this is the lion. And this is the mouth on the lion. And if the lion turns his face to you, use your stick so he turns around so that you don't go into the belly of the lion. I said, could I have two sticks? Yeah, that was not real reassuring to me as we were starting out, okay? I got the picture really well that, you know, this was the lion and that I could become his prey. That's the way it works. But you know, as long as we stayed together, we were assured everything would be just fine. When walking with the lions, you had to stay with those of like mind and like purpose, and we were safe. And I think we can understand the spiritual analogy there, can't we? Are you following me? There's a powerful metaphor right here. If we are going to walk as a Christian, if we are to walk as Jesus would have us walk, we have to walk with those of like mind. That's where we find strength and safety. And outside of that circle, you better watch out because you could end up in the belly of the lion. You know, as long as we were together, no one had to use their staff. Nobody had to use their stick. There was no danger when we were all together. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read this passage again. We read this passage last night or the night before, but it serves a good purpose right here again. Ephesians chapter 5. And beginning in verse 1, understand, here's instruction from the Apostle Paul to Christians, and he's telling them and reminding them about, you know, if you want to be followers of God, you know, here are some things you have to know. Here's some things you have to keep in mind. In fact, here is how you have to walk. In verse 2, walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Well, that's all pleasant to think about right there. What it is, what it looks to walk with Christ, to be followers of God, children of His. But then verse 3, there's this warning. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. And we might even think, well, yeah, of course, you know, sexual immorality and uncleanness and covetousness and stuff like that. Of course, we don't want to be a part of that. That is so far away from the Lord. But he keeps going, you see. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. And some of those things we might think of as being, well, those aren't so nice. But the apostle's putting that in the same category as these other things too, you see? It's all together. If we are going to walk with God, there's a change in character that has to happen and has to take place. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Okay, so now we just really got serious to think about the fact that if we choose to walk as the world walks, we can call ourselves in Christ all we want. But he knows better. And he makes a distinction. And he knows that we have decided to not walk with him. We can say whatever we want, but that doesn't make it right. Then the next verse, verse 6. This is the one I was trying to get to. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't be deceived. And so those who are walking with Christ are walking very differently than those that are walking in the world. And what the apostle is saying, don't be fooled. You can't walk as they walk and still call yourself of Christ. It doesn't work that way. It never has. To be God's people, never have we been able to walk as the world walks and still Jehovah God look at us and say, yes, that's one of mine. No, he says, I don't know you. Don't be deceived. That's the point I want us to understand. Don't be deceived. Satan is all around, and he is trying to enlist his ministers to draw us in His direction, to make us easy prey. And let's be frank about it. Satan is real good at what he does. Let's give him credit. Let's give him credit for what he does well. We can't deny it. He's good at drawing us away from God. That's what he does. That's all he does. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In the text, the apostle is giving some warnings about how we draw near to Christ, how we find steadfastness. And that is going to be by walking with Him, being rooted and grounded in Him. And so there's several verses here, the first seven verses or so, that really places a focus on that, being rooted in Christ. And then in verse 8, there's a comparison, there's a contrast when he says, "Beware, lest anyone take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Again, he's saying, don't be fooled. Don't let the philosophies, the ideas, the traditions of men draw us in any way. Because then we are not Christ's. Our strength and power to overcome attacks from the evil one is increased by walking with those of like precious faith. I've always liked that phrase. Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 1. You remember when he was just starting the letter addressed to those of like precious faith. And I want that to be a description of us, those who have found a place, a walk with the Lord, a like faith that is found through God, through His Word. Now, when we choose to separate from those who are focused on spiritual things, we open ourselves up to the eye of the enemy. Let's understand how that works. That we find safety and strength when we are with those of like precious faith. And the more time we spend together considering spiritual things, the stronger we become. The more prepared we are to fend off anything Satan throws our way. But when we are separated from each other, and let's face it, there's more hours in the week that we are apart from each other than together, we become more vulnerable. And it's why our time together like this is so important. We need this time together where we can worship God together. When we study God's Word together and we consider these things, this is where we find strength and where we are built up. And when we do not take opportunity of that, let's understand, Satan is using the opportunity to draw us away. We find strength when we are together. And when we stray from the support and the protection that is found when we are with those of mutual faith, we become vulnerable. It's a predictable scenario. And I can't remember now if I've said this in a lesson or just in private discussion this week. You know, it becomes predictable. And it's like, you know, people say, "Oh, you can't judge somebody's heart." I understand that. I get that. But I will say there are some things that become predictable. When Christians don't come together to study and worship together as often as they can, it seems in time it becomes predictable with some. They miss more and more, which only leads to them missing more and more. Because we have moved farther and farther away from the strength, the encouragement that we have when we are with those of like precious faith. And it becomes predictable that some are struggling and they are moving farther and farther away from God. We said earlier that typically a lion does not attack a whole pack of animals. It goes after the weak one. doesn't go after the whole group. He seeks the most vulnerable. And sometimes in faith, sometimes we make ourselves vulnerable. When we are not studying, when we are not praying, when we are not in the assembly with the saints and finding the strength that comes by being together and sharing together in God's Word, we make ourselves vulnerable. And typically, Satan is not after the whole. He's happy to take us one at a time. He's happy just to take us one at a time, because if we all keep doing that same thing, he'll get us all eventually. But when we stay together, we worship together, we study together, we are at the assemblies together every time we can, we find strength and encouragement. And Satan has a harder time taking us down. Preachers and elders have heard, maybe others have heard too. You try to talk to somebody that is seemingly struggling in faith. Sometimes people just say, hey, you can't tell me what to do. Well, no, I can't. But I can give the warnings that the Lord gives. I can tell you the principles that the Lord has put in front of us and wants us to know and to consider, and how we need to stop and think and not argue against what God has said. Don't argue with God. This is what He says, that if we are separated from each other, that we become more weak, and the weak will be taken by Satan. Let's look at the Psalms again in the 10th Psalm. In the 10th Psalm, you know, we maybe would ask the question, how does Satan work? And I think this passage right here is really gives us a picture. And so the psalmist starts out in the first verse as, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? It's an interesting thought, an interesting passage, which I think becomes defined a little bit more when we go on in the text. But let's understand this. It's not God who's far away. And, you know, Paul says in Acts chapter 17, he says that God has made us in such a way that we might reach for Him, or we might grope for Him, and He's not far from each one of us. That's what we know about God. And yet the psalmist is saying to God, like, why do you hide yourself from us? Oh, let's keep reading. In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes of his devices. Okay, who is removed from whom here? Verse 3. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and he reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all of his enemies, and he says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. And he says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. No, God does not forget us. But he'll let us go our way. And if we turn from him, and if we don't seek the strength that comes by those of like precious faith, and if we do not seek the encouragement that is found by worship and study of his word, and Satan pulls us his way, God's not going to stop that. If we choose to go the way of Satan, he'll let us go. That's not what he wants. Everything else we've read tonight has been about how to draw near him, you know, and come closer to him and to not be fooled. But if we choose to put ourselves in Satan's path, that's on us. It happens so fast. Sometimes it just seems that it just happens so fast that Satan is upon us. You know, when we walked with the lions, I've done that a couple of times, actually. And this last time was with Steve and Tad. And we were kind of together in this group, and we'd been walking for a while, and our group was getting just a little bit more opened up. We were getting a little confident, maybe. And I was kind of on the back side of the group, and I was trying to get some pictures of the group as we were going along. And at some point there, one of the guides turned back, and he said, young men, catch up. Well, he isn't talking to me. You know, he said, young man. And I turned around and Tad was about 30 feet behind me and he was crouched down low taking some pictures over the brush and some of the bush that was there. And I could see back over there about 40 feet or so. I could see one of those lions just kind of looking up over top of the brush, was looking right at Tad. Just like that. I mean, we'd all been walking together. I mean, I will never forget this. We'd all been together all this time, and here was just a moment where Tad, it wasn't like he had run away. He had just stopped and was taking a picture or something and crouched down a little bit, and we got a little bit ahead, you know, and that's all it took. That's all it took, and that lion was focused on Tad just that quickly. Can we learn anything from that? I mean, it's like, can we get it? Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if we think that Satan fails to notice when we are weak, when we are not walking with others, then we are being foolish. Because God gives us every warning to know and to understand these things. You know, I'm just amazed when Christians fail to assemble with the saints and they think that they're not being affected by that. And I'm amazed how many Christians do not seek help and strength when they realize that maybe their faith is just not where it needs to be. But there's help and there's hope if we reach out. You know, there are brethren that will encourage us. And somehow we think that Satan does not notice the lack of edification that's happening in our lives. You know, that's he does notice, and he is all over that. And in the text we just read in the 10th Psalm, verse 9, he lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off to his net. That's what he does. And he does it so well. That is what he does. Let's just be real honest for a moment. Many are Christians. Many are disciples of Christ. Many are baptized believers in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just need to take a real serious look inside. And we need to think about our faith, consider our faith, and think about our walk in the Lord. Is it all that it needs to be? Are we growing? Are we flourishing in faith? And if not, if we see some weaknesses, if we realize that we've just not been walking the way we should walk, then let's change that. Let's do better. And if we need to repent of sins, let's take care of that. Let's pray together. Pray for forgiveness. Let's do that. Let's be encouraged in faith. And maybe there's someone here who's not even began a walk with Christ, but has come to know and understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you know that and you believe that and you're willing to confess that, repent of your sins and be buried in baptism for the remission of sins. You can start tonight a walk with the Lord. Why would you wait? Even tonight, these things can happen. Can we help you that way? Can we encourage you? Do you need to respond? Please do. Please come as we stand and sing. Make a comment or two. It's been a good week for Sandra and I to be here with you, and we've enjoyed getting to spend time with you. And in fact, we have talked about and remarked how much we've enjoyed just the time we've spent together, getting to visit and sharing meals together and being in your homes. And that's just that's what makes a meeting for us in so many ways. And to be with Jeff and Gay this week has just been, delightful. We've got to sit and talk and visit in ways we haven't in the past so much. We've visited back in Asheville when we were there, but we haven't got to spend this much time together before till now, and it's just been really nice. And so we've enjoyed the week, and we've been encouraged by our time with you, and hope that the week's been helpful to you as well. And we hope to meet again, if not on this side, then on the other side. May God bless you.